Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is John Preston, and I'm the president of the Chartered Institute of Taxation. And it's my privilege to welcome you this evening on behalf of both the CIOT and the Institute for Fiscal Studies to tonight's debate on and lecture on tax simplification. As well as being the leading professional body in the UK dealing solely with taxation, the CIOT is also an educational charity with a mission to advance public education in taxation, including through the forum of tax discussions such as this. The IFS has a principal aim of better informing public debate on economics in order to promote the development of a effective fiscal policy, something which I'm sure you'll agree they do really quite well. So since 2013, we've been working together to hold debates and lectures here at the RSA and at the party conferences in the autumn, bringing together policymakers, economists, tax professionals, opinion formers, and just about everybody else with an interest in both UK and international tax policy. More than 4 years later, we're still going strong, and I don't think there's much prospect of us running out of things to talk about anytime soon. If you are planning on attending the Labour, Conservative or SNP party conference this autumn, we're going to be in the vicinity and our debates this year are going to be on the hot topic of employment, how we tax different kinds of employment. You may remember that the government got into a certain amount of difficulty about this during the last budget. And of course, now that the party in government no longer has a manifesto commitment not to increase national insurance, it's certainly possible, and Philip Hammond, of course, remains at the Treasury, it's perfectly possible that this subject will come back again. On the other hand, maybe we'll have different proposals. Maybe this will just go back into the it's too difficult box and it won't come out at all. But certainly, with Matthew Taylor's review of modern employment practices due to report this summer, this is clearly a topic that isn't going to go away, and nor should it. The CIOT and IFS will be doing our bit to keep it on the agenda this autumn, so please do join us if you can. We're going to be both at Brighton and Manchester, and we're going to be outside of the secure zone, so you don't need to register for the conferences if you wish to attend. But the complexities around employment status, incorporated and unincorporated businesses, are just one of the areas where the need for tax simplification is obvious. But as the reaction to the Chancellor's budget showed, every time you get into a topic like this, there are inevitably winners and losers. And of course, the losers are the ones who shout the loudest. You also then get into the thorny subject of politics, which of course, depending upon your point of view, is either a totally unjustified intrusion into sensible policy making or a reasonable insertion into the democratic process to stop all the geeks going out there and doing things they don't understand. I can tell you which side of the fence I sit in, but then I'm probably not unbiased on this. Pretty much all of the party manifestos had some sort of commitment to tax simplification, but it won't surprise you to hear they've been talking about tax simplification for many, many years. And we'll hear from John in a few minutes about just how successful they've been. Certainly, I think this question of winners and losers and politics tends to get in the way, and that's something I'm sure John is only far too familiar with. So these challenges are things which have been of interest to us for many years. I really look forward to hearing John's views on the story so far and just how he thinks it's going to unfold going forward. So to introduce him and our excellent respondents, let me hand over to the chair of our discussion this evening, the IFS's head of tax, Helen Miller.
Thanks, John, and welcome to you all tonight. This is the ninth of our IFS-CIOT tax debates where we're trying to debate the future of tax systems. Hopefully there'll be many more, and as John alluded to, I don't think we'll run out of topics anytime soon. We're delighted tonight to be discussing tax simplification, and even more delighted that John Whiting has agreed to discuss that with us. John spent 37 years as a partner, a tax partner at PwC, and was previously a tax policy director at the CIOT. But I think most of you will probably know him best for his role in establishing the OTS and really championing the importance of tax simplification. In fact, his hard work as tax director of the OTS, which he humbly but completely unrealistically describes as a part-time role, was recognised with a CBE last year. So as many of you will know, he stepped down from his role as Tax Director OTS in March this year, but continues to play an important role in the tax community, both as a non-executive director of HMRC and as a board member of Revenue Scotland. So John's going to share his reflections on the kind of prospects for tax simplification, the lessons that we can draw. He'll talk to us for about half an hour. I'll then come back to introduce our other speakers, and Jonathan and Judith will give us their reflections on this. But for now, John, the podium is yours.
Thank you. Right, thank you very much, everybody, and good evening. Mr. President, Helen, I'm very grateful to you for giving me this chance to reflect on my time as a tax simplifier, trying to simplify the tax system. I was searching, of course, for a good title for the event, and I suggested Confessions of a Tax Simplifier. George Crozier, however, being the good external relations man he is, suggested that might get us the wrong sort of audience. So I've settled on Rattle of a Simpler Man. Now, not Rattle of a Simple Man, because erudite ones amongst you may know that that was once a play in a film, but maybe I can just rattle around the idea of simplification a bit. Now, I've got to start with a bit of a disclaimer. Looking around the room, I realise I've spoken to many of you before about aspects of tax simplification. So I'm very conscious that many of you will have heard a number of the things I'm going to say already. But as Eric Morecambe very nearly put it, not necessarily in the same order. And indeed, not only are you going to hear some things similar, but I'd hope I can promote a bit of debate with a few new thoughts. Inevitably, I'm going to be drawing on my time and experiences with the OTS, and I apologise in advance that I'll almost certainly refer at times to OTS as we. I know it should be they, but I hope you and they will pardon the inevitable slippage. I was there 6.5 years, and it takes a while to switch brain on. What I'm not going to do is talk you through really what the OTS did. What I am going to try and do is draw out some of the lessons that I drew from trying to simplify. Lessons for me, lessons for the OTS, lessons I think for Treasury, Revenue, Government, agents, CIOT. What is really possible in this world of tax simplification? And therefore, I hope I can establish with you that this is something worth pursuing. So, perhaps inevitably, I'm starting from the premise that we should try and simplify the tax system. I'll expand on that in a moment, but let's note, begin at the beginning, that this is not a new idea. Now, I don't know if anybody recognises that quote. Sorry, go on. Very good. It's Edward VI. You know, nothing new under the sun, as it were. So Edward, it slightly worries me that Edward died young. And it does worry me that that was because of championing simplification. Was he got at by the complexiteers or something like that? I don't know. But anyway, it's been around for a while, or certainly complaints about complexity have been around for a while. Let's go a little more seriously. Why should we try and simplify? What's the point? It may seem like a non-question, but I think it's something we should at least try and address. I think so. Why we should simplify. There's a few thoughts on why I think simplification is kind of worth it. It's easier to deal with, easier to understand, not quite the same things. Waste less time and effort, fewer errors. Now, that's importantly, I'd say, for all parties, not just taxpayers, but agents, HMRC, et al. Perhaps a couple more things. Increases confidence in the system. That's quite important, I think. Increases trust. I think those are important, because I think in many ways, those should be a key driver for the efforts of simplification, a key objective in many ways. The more complex a system gets, the more time is wasted, the less chance people have of really understanding. I mean, it's a good question, isn't it? Does the average taxpayer really understand, really have the confidence that they get their taxes right? Now, the answer to that is obviously yes, if they have a CTA or an ATT member acting for them, but not everybody has that luxury. Now, those of you who know Adam Smith's principles may sort of recognize some of these. There's definite overtones with his famous principles for getting to easier taxes, for what you need for a good tax system: certainty, convenience, efficiency, equity. He didn't actually say keep it simple, stupid, but I think he was sort of meaning it implicitly. Now, all of those reasons, I would suggest, were building up and bubbling up, greater or lesser extent, behind a commission that Geoffrey Howe, the late Lord Howe, led in 2008, it reported. And one of the things it concluded was that there was a definite need to put some effort into simplifying the tax system to try and get better. And of course, one of the proposals was that there should be an OTS. Among other things, they lit upon the UK had the longest tax code in the world, not necessarily the definitive reason for doing it, but it certainly has a certain resonance. We also, of course, have to pay tribute, I have to pay tribute, to Geoffrey Howe for, I still think, coining the best analogy for the job of the tax simplifier. It's like painting Brighton Pier while somebody else is extending the pier to France. Which, as I say, I think is still, in many ways, the perfect analogy. So if you buy all that lot, or some or all of them, and if you don't, there's plenty of chance to debate them later, we should try and simplify. So, okay, how are we going to try and simplify? Well, maybe we should just try and come up with a nice, simple tax code. So how about that for Section 1 of the Taxes Act? It's got a lot going for it, hasn't it? It's short. But some may say there's certain problems with it. It's imprecise, it's uncertain, it's subjective. So maybe that doesn't work. Okay, well, let's try a slightly different approach. How much money have you got left? Sub 2? Send it. Now, that actually answers some of the previous points, doesn't it? It's precise, certain, it's objective. Easy, isn't it? But it does actually worry me that there's a few Treasury people in the room making notes, but that apart, hopefully everybody realises I'm joking, but there's a serious point to it, isn't there? That if you're going to be simple, some things are important. Yes, that precise, certain, objective. But of course, go totally simple, and you are going well away from the principles we came up with earlier, the Adam Smith principles, if you like. So we mustn't just go totally for simplification. I mean, needless to say, there are some rocks, some problems, some issues en route. So what we need to do is to try and look at this. You know, what really should we be going for? What are we really aiming for with simplification? Or to turn it round, what makes things complex? Because, of course, both things need to be tackled. Now, at that point, to touch on what is complexity, if you like, what I'm just going to pray in aid is something the OTS came up with, which is the OTS's complexity index. Now, as a matter of interest, I don't expect you to absorb this. There are 10 factors in the complexity index. We can talk about them another day as to why we chose those and what they're meant to do. But there's a range of them. And if you just glance through them, it's really the sort of way they blend together that I just want to draw out here. That if you're looking to simplify, if you're looking to tackle complexity, there's various things that you've got to do. So if you like, you can call these simplification principles or anti-complexity principles. Firstly, that range of factors had a mix in that, a mix of technical and administrative. And technical was probably what the Geoffrey Howe Commission was after, simpler rules. But one thing the OTS, and certainly I, very quickly absorbed is you can't simplify just by trying to change the rules. Well, you could, but actually, you know what? Changing admin, changing the procedures, changing the way we do things is at least as powerful, probably more powerful. Simpler procedures are enormously important. So that's, I think, one of the first principles, first goals that we've got to aim for with simplification. It's technical, it's administrative. Another thing is it's got to work for all parties. Something that might be simpler for HMRC might actually cause more complexity for taxpayers, or of course vice versa. It might be easier for taxpayers, but it gives HMRC a shed load of extra work. That's not an overall simplification. So it's a balanced ticket, if you like. Let me give an example. From Helen's intro, you know that I'm also on the board of Revenue Scotland. So you all know that. Fewer of you will probably know what Revenue Scotland does. Brownie point, for those of you who know, it collects land and building transaction tax and Scottish landfill tax. LBTT is their replacement for SDLT, stamp duty land tax. Now, for LBTT, Scotland gets 98.8% of its tax returns in electronically. Well, that's pretty good, isn't it? HMRC would love to get that as well. Why? Well, of course, it's still a complex system, but what we were able to do is design a system that worked administratively, that was simple to use, that worked for everybody, taxpayers, agents, and the tax authority. Wins all round, simple. But if those are our key principles, what's our overall goal? What's our overall aim? I was often asked this, you know, what is the, you know, when will OTS know when it's succeeded? What is the overall goal? Try this. Taxpayers should understand what's required and how to comply. Now, we may not get to a simple system completely, but maybe that should be our goal. And it's an interesting thought that in many ways we don't have principles underpinning the UK's tax system. At least I don't think we do. Scotland does, and forgive me, I'm not trying to bid for a Scottish passport or anything, in sort of mentioning Scotland a few times, but Scotland in designing its taxes says, okay, we're going to keep to those Adam Smith principles. Now, they haven't got much to play with, maybe it's dead easy, but at least there are some principles there. Maybe we ought to have a principle of simplification, have that as a goal for how the tax system develops. Again, you may care to discuss that later on. But anyway, there are some principles for starters, if you like. So how are we going to get there? Let's try and work towards it a bit. Well, here's some principles, some issues, some methods that I think, partly from my thoughts, but mainly, of course, from OTS experience, actually get us towards simplification. These, I think, are things that worked. Firstly, wide evidence gathering. Well, of course, many of you will have heard me say that OTS was very small, we couldn't think of everything ourselves, made a virtue out of going out of small size, we had to go out and get ideas. Put a great deal of effort, and I think OTS continues to put a great deal of effort into going out and about, talking to all areas, not just the usual suspects, although we do want to talk to the usual suspects, but a lot of the unusual suspects as well. So we get everybody involved, and I think that's key for simplification. And in fact, it leads into the next stage, which is almost a corollary. Things have to be practical. Things have to be evidence-based. These sort of things follow, if you like, from that first stage. We have to talk to all, because that'll make sure we get things that are practical, things that will really work. That, I think, is very important. It'll help them get accepted. Another thing that's, I think, very important for simplification is that you get the right sort of people working on it. I'm very pleased to see number of the OTS people here tonight, which shows that OTS people are actually allowed the odd hour off. They're probably going back afterwards. But it needs a mix of staff. Now that I think is quite important, and it's a corollary. You can see a thread building here. If you're going to achieve simplification, you've got to bring to bear all the talents. So mix of public and private sector. That I think was really important because it helps people identify with the effort. We built trust as the OTS. Why? Because we could speak all languages, if you like. We could talk to HMRC, Treasury in their language. We could talk to practitioners, businesses in theirs. That, I think, is a very important feature. We got involved people who really knew what they were doing. The mix of staff, then, very important. Things had to work for all. You may think that's just repetitious, but I think there's another point here. It needs reiterating, but as much as anything, it really has to work for all. We're not here just lobbying, getting a tweak for one sector. So it's not a sectoral thing. It's got to be looked at in the round. And finally, in this thread of the key principles, the key messages, costings, things have to be worth it. Now, there's two aspects to this. Firstly, yes, things have to be worth it. Worth it in the sense that if you're going to change something, and simplification does mean change, and given that change is the greatest cause of complexity, then if you're going to propose some changes, as I say, they've got to be worth it. Is the dividend that you're going to get worth the, be worth the upheaval? The other side of it, though, of course, is you can never forget it. How much is it really going to cost in revenue terms? Revenue neutral, revenue implications. We must have regard, obviously, to the revenue implications of any simplification. I'll come back to that. But certainly when the OTS started, being set off with a mandate to be just completely revenue neutral in its recommendations was a bit impractical because you couldn't necessarily balance the package. And after all, ultimately, at the end of the day, it's for ministers to decide and take a view on what they want to pursue. So I think if you're putting simplification things forward, if you're going for simplification, you must have regard to revenue implications. And of course, we'll come back to it, you've got to have some regard to the actual cost of it, but not necessarily totally revenue neutral. So those are core principles, I think, in how to pursue simplification. Drilling down a little further, let's get into what you can actually recommend. How would you package up? What are we really aiming for? I've talked about some of these in a way, so let's, to a certain extent, flesh them out. Short-term and long-term. I think it's important in simplification to keep both in mind. Certain element of quick wins, although I don't particularly care for that term. Things that can be effected quite easily. Maybe those are the admin ones. But also, got to be thinking about the structural things. But structural will take a lot of time, so it's getting a balanced package. And of course, really, the point is, I think, if you want to make progress, you've got to think of both things. Policy. Policy changes. This is difficult. When OTS was started, we were told we couldn't do policy. But again, hang on a minute, where does simplification stop and policy begin? I think we really have to be able to, if we're thinking about simplification, propose or at least raise policy matters. Obviously, I've said it already, policy decisions are for ministers, as advised by Treasury and HMRC. But to provoke the debate, to provoke the consideration, we've got to think about policy changes, but of course, with some care and attention to what we're proposing. Interesting one, choice. When you're thinking about what to recommend, it's easy as a tax policy person to think, choice is good. Choice helps people, decide what they want. They can go for things that suit them. I just caution you on that. Choice brings complexity, or it brings a measure of complexity, because people have to be informed to make a choice. They have to be advised. Now, in many ways, that's good. They can come to a CTA, ATT member and get the right advice. But I just, as I say, I caution the automatic assumption that choice is good, which is why, personally, I think there's a lot of merit in a sort of default basis attitude. If there is a broadly right answer, should taxpayers, should the tax system push towards that as the right answer, with an opt-out if it doesn't work for you? If you go back to, for example, the cash basis that the OTS recommended, our basic principle was, yeah, make it the default for the very smallest businesses that we were aiming it at. If they didn't want to go for it, you could opt out. But take the initial decision away unless you really wanted to go for it. Put forward answers. Don't duck it. If there is an answer to simplification, if there's a definite way forward, well, maybe it's obvious, you've got to say it. Obviously, ministers will decide, but if there's an answer, make it easy for them, make it obvious. Now, that doesn't always work, of course, because a lot of things are very complex. And I think one of the great lessons that the OTS learned, certainly I learned, is that we've got to be prepared to expose the issues and prompt debate. Yes, we might see the answer. Yes, of course, it might be obvious to bring national insurance and income tax close together. But actually, you know what? That's pretty difficult. A lot of people think it's actually dead easy to merge them. Of course, all of us here in this room know it isn't. But it's the OTS's job, simplification's job, I think, to head in that direction, but to show what the issues are, to prompt a debate. Yes, of course, I think national insurance should go to an aggregate cumulative annual basis, ACA, like PAYE. But if that means 7 million pay less, but 5 million pay more, that needs a bit of debate, doesn't it? So we've got to expose the issues. And that's where I think, you know, it's balancing the package, the obvious ways when you know what they are, expose the issues when it's a bit more difficult. So it all sounds easy, doesn't it? Some principles and some ways forward. But inevitably there's things that get in the way. Let's call them rocks, if you like, rocks on the way. And if we acknowledge these rocks, we'll see how to deal with them. Firstly, and I've touched on this already, there's the obvious one of exchequer cost. If simplification is really going to cost a lot of money, surprise, surprise, it's not going to make much progress, which is probably why the idea we had initially of abolishing income tax didn't get very far. Sorry. More subtly and more carefully, let's be clearer. Very often you're into winners and losers with changes. And to make progress, sadly, as John's alluded to in his opening comments, the losers want compensating. It's kind of difficult. That's kind of difficult if it's going to have a big exchequer cost. And it may well handicap simplification efforts. What else? Risk. I think this is something that OTS simplification had to tackle very carefully in the early days. Because when we first got going, naturally, there was a bit of caution from HMRC. What's this load of people just going to mess around with the tax system, create all these loopholes for even more avoidance? Absolutely valid challenge. And I think OTS simplification had to really address that and make it clear, yes, we are aware that that is a genuine risk, and we have to try and make sure that simplification doesn't just open up vast avoidance opportunities. It is possible. For example, a trivial benefits idea that OTS came up with, we came up with also ideas for how that could be carefully ring fence to prevent abuse. Can we get the change through? That's actually a practical issue. You're changing the system. Hang on a minute, there's lots of vested interests, and I'm not just talking about HMRC here. I'm talking about practitioners, agencies, businesses. You know, it's not necessarily easy to change something. That causes complexity, as I've said. So we have to acknowledge, and I'll come back to it in a moment, that change needs a bit of effort. I mean, you know, late night taxis, some will know, was a favourite topic of mine. OTS showed that 90% plus of the benefit of late night taxis, that relief, went to big city firms of one sort or another. Therefore, we said, surely there's a better way. But of course, it aroused a heck of a lot of opposition because people quite liked the relief and came up with all sorts of reasons that, hang on, this would damage sort of all the nurses going home at the end of their shifts. Actually, you know what, didn't apply to them, but that didn't stop it being defeated as a move. Hey-ho. And of course, that gets us into the next stage. We have to be aware of the political rock. Things have to be things that will play in the political marketplace. I've said a number of times, ultimately it's for ministers to decide. They're going to take the change through. So is this a change that really will go down sensibly in the political marketplace? How will it sound? So OTS made the case for abolishing the blind person's allowance a couple of times. Now, that's not just because the OTS is a load of hard bastards who wanted to get rid of a relief, but because only a third of the blind claimed it and benefited from it. Therefore, abolish it and give the supposed allowance amount by way of a grant. Now, that failed for two reasons. One, cost, of course, exchequer cost, because it would cost more. Secondly, because however well it was presented, you can just imagine the headlines. So, you know, you have to accept that. But, and this is another of my points, it was a simplification move. It needed highlighting. We had to put it forward, even if, sadly, we had to accept it wasn't going to fly. Politically is one aspect. Parliamentary in a wider sense, I suppose one of the things I'm disappointed is that Parliament didn't actually clear the decks, forget about Brexit, and just debate tax simplification. Maybe we'd have had a better time if they had. No, more seriously, it would be nice if perhaps Treasury Committee looked at the sort of reports that OTS came out with. They haven't particularly. Maybe they'll be looking at the annual reports when those come out. It would be good to get a bit more parliamentary push behind it. Finally, on this list, something that I think is actually subtle but important, what you can term stock versus flow. The OTS dealt initially with the stock, what was on the statute book. That immediately raised issues about fiddling around with a few bits and pieces while there was this great flood of new legislation coming down the track. And indeed, it almost beat Geoffrey Howe's analogy because it gave the impression that simplification was about pushing water uphill against a waterfall. So shouldn't the OTS, shouldn't simplification look at the finance bill as well, look at the flow? And I think that's actually a very valid point. If you like, one of the great lessons is the best places to tackle complexity is before it's baked into the system. Begin at the beginning. Now, that's something you may want to debate as to how we do that. But I would argue that really it needs tackling at the start. The flow. Build it into policy development. Now, I'm very gratified that increasingly it is there. You can see, and indeed many people in Treasury and HMRC have said to me, it's there, it's considered. It needs to be, I think, in how policy is developed. I've put forward the idea that, you know, maybe we need to put simplification on the tin, not just because it's a nice tagline, but the tax impact and information notes. Maybe there should be a sort of sign-off box that simplification's being considered. Now, if you are going to try and tackle it at the beginning, at source, if you like, Maybe there should be some obvious principles, and possibly unsurprisingly, OTS came out with a paper on how you avoid complexity. It's a good paper, modesty prevents me saying who wrote it, but these are the four basic principles that we came up with. You know, ensure it meets the policy aim, focus it, design it to meet the aim, keep it up to date. Maybe not rocket science, it isn't rocket science, and I'm very pleased that those sort of things seem to be suffusing an awful lot more of the consideration going around in 100 Parliament Street, One Horse Guards. So, some final thoughts before I hand over for wider debate. I've referred to rocks. There's ways of dodging the rocks or smoothing. Keep at it, of course. If it was easy, it would be done. So don't be scared to come back to it, which is what certainly simplification does. The existing corporation tax review sort of builds on competitiveness. Get the message over what we can and can't do. Arguably, possibly, we haven't done that well enough. Maybe we should do that a bit better as to what simplification can do. Be practical. I've said that a few times. Make sure it works in practice. Should we, in fact, offer up, just to build on that, a route for taxpayers, businesses, to tell the OTS their ideas for simplification, the sort of red tape challenge of the tax system, if you like. It helps, of course, if you've got HMRC on side. Work with the grain, work with what works. One of the great success stories I think OTS had was with the employee benefits project, and it helped enormously that we got Ann Palmer, who was definitely on side, and she pushed from the HMRC side when we were pushing from simplification, and we made a lot of progress with things. Have some deliverables. It really does help because that gets a bit of momentum. I'd like to think that the employment status project and report will come out again when gig economy, the Taylor report, comes up. One rock that does have to be acknowledged is the sheer capacity for change. I've said already, change is the biggest cause of complexity, and this is undoubtedly a problem. Everybody is suffering from too much change. Taxpayers, HMRC is struggling, everybody is. So building in more change, you've got to make a fairly powerful case that it's really worth it. I put DWP there just to mention we do deal with other departments when it comes to simplification. And trying to put some of the pensioners' recommendations through fell on the sort of stone, the rock of DWP's universal credit rock. That's all they're focused on. Didn't have time to do something else. And be prepared to tackle attitudes that, you know, things really are worth it. Back to that risk point that, you know, changing things around partnerships might really make some progress. So there you are. I've tossed out some thoughts, some ideas, a range of things. All of these, I think, should come up. Why simplify? Should we? These are things you might care to debate. What are the objectives, working methods, types of ideas? I'm sorry, these should neatly line up, but thanks to the RSA's machine, it doesn't. So I'm sorry about that. But those are some of the issues I'm trying to put up and some of the possible things that you might debate. You might, of course, at the end say, is it worth it? Now, to this extent, you know, fair enough, OTS and simplification costs money. That was about the budgets, $500,000 to start with, a bit more now. Plus, of course, we get a lot of free help. Plus, of course, we consume a deal of HMRC resources. Is it worth it? It's generating more change. One thing, though, I would plead in our defence on simplification is, I don't know if anybody remembers the tax law rewrite. If you do, it cost about $3 million a year, which is worth more. I don't know. And the payback we've got on things like simplifying employment issues around P11Ds, I think suggests that simplification can deliver value for money. So in conclusion, I would suggest, yes, simplification is worth it. It's something we should do. And I've put up a few thoughts as to the direction. Often you come up, though, with this issue. The system tries to be fair, and simplification and fairness pull against each other. But I'd put to you, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, that an over-complex system can't ever be fair. So what I'd suggest is simplification is actually part of achieving fairness. Of course, it can only go so far, but I would say this is worth it, this is something we have to do. It's good to see a number of the political parties actually put it in their manifesto, although the fact that we don't seem to have got a clear verdict, I would hope, is not a verdict on simplification. Thank you.